What's the Kyle moment that's going to stick out in your mind when you think back at his tenure with the Toronto Raptors?
How you guys doing, first of all? But a lot, man, a lot, because I remember still working for the organization when we were going through talks about acquiring Kyle, you know, via trade. You know, it was that feeling where we're going to go for a trade with Kyle Lowry or try to sign Steve Nash as a free agent. And it was going back and forth with that, and then even having conversations with Kyle about playing next to Steve Nash, and Kyle not having the greatest reputation at that moment of his career, was more than open to playing with Steve Nash. Felt that he can learn a lot from Steve Nash and really, really, really honored Steve Nash to a degree. So I remember thinking to that point of Kyle Lowry not being sure of what was going on to the Kyle Lowry we know today, who people put him as the greatest Raptor of all time. So him going through that process, the ups and downs, the criticisms, the championships. So many memories that I have and so many pieces from this time with Kyle personally, privately, and then even in the open. So a lot of things. I couldn't just pinpoint one thing.
That stuff about Steve Nash is really, that's fascinating, Alvin. So you saw him evolve. Obviously, you saw him evolve as a player in Toronto, but because you know him the way you know him, you know, how did he evolve as a person in, you know, during that time as a Raptor? You know, he arrived, as you say, he arrived at the team as a bit of a reputation of a, you know, a bit of a malcontent. He'd bounced, you know, third team, hard guy to coach, didn't get along with DeMar DeRozan at first, didn't get along with Dwayne Casey at first. You know, a difficult guy was his rep, and he leaves here with a reputation as a guy who wore his heart on his sleeve, gave everything for the team, ultimate team guy, and a champion. What does that say about his kind of personal evolution?
That's it. You named it, you know, him having that reputation. And once again, getting a chance to meet Kyle, you know, him being recruited by Villanova and my first interactions with him and getting to spend more and more time with him. And I think it basically came down to me having to adjust and respecting who he was as a young man, and then him learning along the way. The one thing about Kyle is he's a forever learner. He is stuck in his ways, and he has the chip on his shoulder, but he realizes that. But he has a bigger interest in learning and growing. And I talk to him about business. I talk to him about family. I talk to him about athletics. I talk to him about giving back, community. And all of these things, he was already up on it. And it was just about him being in a space where he could continue to learn, surround himself around positive people and people that he can look up to. And he mentions it all the time, whether it's Damon Stoudemire, Chauncey Billups, someone like myself, being close with DeMar DeRozan, opening up enough where he can continue to grow. And that's the biggest, that transformation is the biggest accolade I can give to Kyle, him continue to grow as a man. And when you start having, you know, when you start accomplishing things that he's accomplished, whether it's all-star games, whether it's championships, Olympic gold medals, financially, it's easier to get into your own world and, you know, just forget everything and just is your way. But he didn't allow himself to do that. He continues to grow. He continued to use his resource. He becomes more of a resource for people. So personally, his growth is something that I've learned from personally, even I'm being older than he was. But I've learned a lot from him as well. And it's, a lot of people can learn from being the person that he started out, and it's not who will actually define you, continue to grow, and which he continues to do every day.
Hard worker, extremely hard worker. It's what you hear from everybody, including Nick Nurse. He says he's never met a harder worker in his days in the NBA. And whenever you talk about the Raptors and what they could accomplish, and you look at the names on the paper, people talk about culture, though. The culture of this Raptors team is what's going to allow them to surpass the accumulation of their parts. How responsible is Kyle Lowry for that culture? And how much does that culture lose out on not having the greatest Raptor of all time moving forward?
I mean, I think it goes hand in hand. I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Raptors organization, MLSE, because they've evolved as well. And with Kyle being here, because once again, and just being 100% honest, I remember Kyle wasn't the most liked person around the organization or maybe around the city, you know, maybe amongst his teammates, but everybody grew. And it was a great thing to see everyone grow together. And Kyle being a part of that, that culture begins, right? People start believing in Kyle. People start trusting him. Kyle has always been a hard worker. He's always been focused. But once again, he start changing as an individual, as a professional. He start understanding the game of business and sports other than just being on a court. And I also believe the franchise did a great job of sticking with Kyle. And although things, you know, transpired in the championships and all those things, and a lot of times wins, they mask the bad things that happens. But I think the result of Kyle being here and the organization having the pieces in place where everybody grew, you know, pretty much organically, that piece developed the culture. Not just Kyle. I think everyone part of it. I think of DeMar DeRozan. I think of Nick Nurse. I think of Dwayne Casey. I think of Masai. I think of everyone involved created that culture. Kyle could be the staple, but I don't think Kyle's departure will tarnish or do anything, you know, when you talk about the culture. I think that will remain the same as long as the principals and the people that are calling the shots have that same mindset.
Alvin, around the deadline, it's, you know, people have kind of reconciled themselves, you know, inside and outside, and, you know, the fans and the franchise and everybody kind of reconciled themselves to the idea that Kyle was probably gone. And it was almost like everybody said their goodbyes already. And, you know, we'd already had the tributes, and then they didn't move him at the deadline. In hindsight, should they have moved him at the deadline?
No, I don't think so. I feel, and if you're talking about from an organization standpoint, and they feel like they may have not gotten enough for him or whatever the case may be. Unfortunately, I wasn't in the rooms where the deals were going down and you try to see what's the best deal that you can get for a Kyle Lowry. But I think when you move forward, Kyle's happy. The fan base has a great understanding of the business and everything that Kyle means to the team. And I think the organization, at the end of the day, with the leadership in place, always going to be okay because they have the right leadership in place and they're going to make the right moves for the organization. And that's the first and foremost, the biggest thing. So I wouldn't say they should have made that move early on. I think now is a great time. Everyone once again benefits. And then once again, it shows the growth of the city and the country as well, because I think back when Vince Carter and, you know, everyone else who left, whether it was Tracy or Chris, they weren't received that well, right? Of course we didn't get the championships, but you know, I think everyone has a truer understanding of the business and everything that goes within it. So I think at the end of the day, everyone comes out on top with it.
Talking to Alvin Williams, do you think this allows the remaining Raptors to take over more of an ownership role on this team, whether that's Fred VanVleet, whether that's Pascal Siakam, that might have been more difficult to accomplish if Kyle Lowry is still there, the face of the franchise, the greatest Raptor of all time?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you have Kyle there and the face of the franchise has been there, he has the longest tenure. He's had, I mean, pretty much the most success, the most notoriety. But they got an excellent chance and opportunity to learn and see how Kyle went about his day-to-day. And more so just to see his professionalism. When you're on the road, going out to dinner, when you're in Philadelphia, come over our house, when you're doing these things, those things are valued. That has so much value. So when you have a Fred and you have a Pascal and you have OG and you have some of the other people around that witnessed that and was a part of that, they get to see what leadership truly is. Now, it comes down to winning and it comes down to everything else. But those pieces, first and foremost, what it takes to be a leader and being selfless when you're not playing well, when things aren't going well, are you still conducting yourself as the leader and making sure everyone else comes first? Those are things Kyle learned to do. At first, he didn't have that. But he learned to make sure everybody was on the same page. He learned to make sure everybody, you know, was benefiting and getting better. And a lot of times he came last. He came second to that. So they had a great opportunity to learn from that. And they're going to have a chance to put it in the forefront now. And once again, it comes down to getting those wins that make their leadership even look much better.
What's this, Alvin? What's this team? You know, it's been a long time since we've seen a Raptors team without Kyle Lowry. Well, like, what's this team going to look like beginning the new season without? Well, and they also have Pascal Siakam on the sidelines for a few weeks at the beginning of the season as well. But give us a sense of what, you know, as this page is turned, what is this team without him? And you know, what is it going to have to do to kind of write the next chapter?
It's going to look different, and I think more importantly, it's going to look different to us, from the outside. When you're in that locker room and when you're in that training camp and you're getting ready for the summer, people are already preparing for their roles. People, you know, some people may even feel this is more of an opportunity for them. Malachi Flynn, you know, spent 1 year with Kyle, so may not have that exact connection that a Fred has, but, you know, Malachi has the opportunity to, you know, step into this thing and make a name for himself and continue to learn from someone like Fred. So I believe when you have someone like a Fred VanVleet, he's gonna do a lot of things that Kyle, and not putting that pressure on him, or Fred's his own man, but he has some things that he's learned from Kyle that he can implement or help, or he can help Malachi Flynn as well. But it's going to look different. But trust me, the players are eager for this opportunity to carve their own niche and move forward. And I think it's a great opportunity. It's an exciting time for the organization to get past this chapter, because this has been something looming over, you know, their head for a while, right? Whether it's through the trade, whether it's before, all these things. So now you can clean slate with that position with Kyle gone. You know, you pay respect, you give his tributes, you have that honor and all that. But let's move forward and let's get going. And I think the Raptors are in good position to do that.
So he joins his buddy Jimmy Butler. And a lot of people say the same things about Jimmy Butler that they do about Kyle Lowry. How do you think those two are going to mesh? Obviously, like, the personal relationship is going to make it a perfect fit in that regard. But I can imagine some heated practices, Alvin.
Yeah, for sure. Me not knowing Jimmy Butler at all, but knowing his reputation from what I hear and even talking to Kyle, very, very similar. Both started out as underdogs, both hard workers, both are dogs and very competitive. But the beautiful thing is they have respect for one another. So you don't have to go into a situation as a coach, if you're Eric Spoelstra or, you know, Miami Heat organization, worrying about how the two guys are going to get along, especially when you bring one in. And you don't have to worry about that, which a lot of organizations do. Those guys are going to respect each other, and that's just going to bring that team even much more leadership. Everyone around that team is going to benefit from a Jimmy Butler and a Kyle Lowry combination. Kyle Lowry really has a true understanding of leadership. He respects Jimmy Butler, and that was something else early on. Kyle Lowry didn't necessarily have respect for a lot of people, you know, at a younger age. He has that respect. So once again, you don't have to fight that battle with those two. So they're starting out guns blazing. And I'm excited to see how that combination, along with the young fellas that they have, they work out.
Eastern Conference is going to be a bit of a beast, isn't it, Alvin? When you look ahead to next season, you know, they're starting with the champions and working your way down.
Oh, my God, yes. It truly is. Because if you look at it, people, and I won't say people, I will put myself, I'll stand on it. I was high on Milwaukee the past 2-3 years. Even when the Raptors won the championship, I was high on Milwaukee, and they just kind of fizzled out. And then, you know, they popped out of nowhere. They made the trade for Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton. You know, he developed into that guy that if Giannis is not playing well, then he can be that other guy. And they just came together. And they went through the process. But Brooklyn Nets was on their last leg, and they still battled. You know, Philadelphia 76ers, they have to make some adjustments. But, you know, they still a talented team. So now you got the Miami Heat. New York Knicks popped out of nowhere. Atlanta Hawks. So I think from 1 to 8, it's going to resemble a lot how the West, you know, looked for years, 1 through 8. It was always some type of competition there. So the East, to your point, Steve, it's going to be really, really competitive.
You think there's a few teams in that East? I mean, maybe not the Heat, because they get swept in the first round by the eventual champs. But the Sixers, we know how close they were to acquiring Kyle, according to rumors, at the deadline last year. We know the Lakers were thinking about a trade for Kyle Lowry. You think there's more than a few teams that wish they could have turned back the clock and maybe ponied up the extra that Masai Ujiri wanted and consummated a Kyle Lowry trade at the deadline last year?
Yeah, I mean, once again, it's so difficult to answer those questions, because when you look at that depth chart and you look at your options, 1, 2, 3, 4, and what you're willing to go up for, and then you look, you forecast and project into the future of what you can have, salary, and all of those things, sometimes you can't compromise what the game plan is at that moment. Although, you know, Kyle Lowry is a heck of a player, and you just don't know what's going to happen. But once again, this year, I think it's going to tell. When Kyle Lowry comes out and playing the way I know he's going to play and do all the things, then other teams might be kicking themselves. But, you know, other than that, it's going to be hard to really – to really put yourself in that situation unless you see the end result. And once again, it's really hard to compromise what the game plan is, especially when you're going to the board or you're going to everybody and try to project what you have already put in place, and you try to pivot a little bit with something that's uncertain. So that's a hard question to answer, but I think if Kyle plays the way we know he can play, mm-hmm. then people will say, you know what, I told you so, we should have did it. And you hear that a lot in the front office.